Well, what a privilege it is and a great joy for me to return to this pulpit to preach the novena. And I really mean it is a joy for me. And I'd like to first express my great appreciation for Father Darren for inviting me to this beautiful event. And I'd like to take this opportunity, too, to thank the benefactors, those men and women from their resources and their prayers to support this novena. What happens in these 9 days of healing and prayer as a diocesan community is of tremendous importance because we imitate in our request for healing that healing and reconciliation that God the Father does through Christ in union with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going back on script now, because if I go off script anymore, we'll be here until it gets warm. All this week, I have joined with you in prayers for healing, for ourselves, for our country, and for our Catholic institutions. We often pray for healing, but sometimes the cure does not excite us as much. A decade ago when I had colon cancer, the cure was an extreme regimen of chemotherapy. I recall signing off on sheaves of documents informing me of what could go wrong, what would fall out, and what wouldn't work, and all other possible side effects of the treatment. After letting my hand rest for a bit, I asked the nurse if anything was going to go right. It seemed that getting rid of something you really don't want was harder than I thought. Chemotherapy made me a mess. Not only did I lose weight, I lost my hair and my normally good, cheery attitude. My good looks took a hit when by the third month my complexion resembled someone who was suffering from sunburn, measles, and a bad case of dandruff. The cure was not easy. I had my darker moments when I weighed in the balance eternal beatitude with the Holy Trinity and many more years of correcting freshman essays on the fall of the Roman Empire. And I can assure you, what the barbarians did not do to Rome, Gonzaga freshmen did. Oftentimes, people would say to me that going through chemotherapy would be time off purgatory. And so my thoughts took me to purgatory and its role in Christ's salvific plan. Purgatory sometimes gets a bad reputation, especially among some Protestants who don't see a verbatim reference to the reality of purgatory in the scriptures. Perhaps they need to look again and read the story of the prodigal son. The story recalls someone who goes through misery to realize what he had lost and regains it because of a loving father. Does death stop the mercy of God? Purgatory simply is the time when we are purified of those things which we still grasp and hold, even after death. Many of us know from our own experience and walking with others the difficulty of giving up the object of an addiction. God, who loves us, wants all our love. In return, and so that divine love, God provides us with an opportunity, even after death, to separate us from those things on which we still cling for false support. Giving things up that have been our firm grasp involves courage and suffering. And when we suffer, we need help. Theologians, poets, and philosophers have spent much time trying to reconcile the reality of suffering in the face of an all-knowing and loving God. There are some philosophical positions one could argue, but reason syllogisms fall silent before the tears shed in the waiting room of a children's hospital. Suffering is not easy. It is not pleasant. But it is a fork, a choice in the road. It is a moment when, as men and women of faith, we need to make a decision. Will we move forward in faith, Or do we see our suffering as the deal breaker between ourselves and God? Do we want to hold on to things on which we have depended upon in such a way that when life itself looks to be lost, we move into desperation, or do we move forward in faith? Standing alone in the fork of the road, faced with a decision, at the time one's entire life is collapsing, is perhaps not the best time to make a decision. Ignatius of Loyola wisely states that one should only make a decision in the midst of consolation. Sometimes that option is not available. And we need to move forward in faith, even though the light at the end of the tunnel looks suspiciously like an oncoming train. At this point, when it seems that we are going through purgatory, at a time like this, we need someone who may not say much, but we know is there. And here we can take our inspiration from Mary under the cross. I would like to provide you with three images, three roles, three icons of Mary under the cross, which may help us in our suffering and help us when we are needed by others in their suffering. Mary as model, Mary as companion, and Mary as the image of our hope. When we imagine the scene of Mary under the cross, we place ourselves before two individuals who should have been saved this pain, these pains of sorrow. Not only do we imagine before our eyes two persons, Jesus and Mary, persons who never sinned, but we see them undergoing the pain and humiliation of an experiencing and witnessing an agonizing death. Even the atheists among society rail against the suffering of the just, especially children and the vulnerable. Like the French existentialists who gape across the caverns of death and see nothing but emptiness, some may take the path that leads to desperation and abandonment. This is a well-tread option. But there is another option, one that Mary chose and one that was confirmed at the Annunciation. Be it done according to your will. Likewise, at the wedding of Cana, Mary responded to the waiter, "Do whatever he tells you." Following the will of God and acting on it became the hallmark of Mary's life. Mary, the mother of Jesus. She did this freely and with cooperation of divine grace, which aided her faith, but in no way revealed to her the fullness of the beatific vision. She acted freely and she acted humanly. She stood before the cross of her son, perhaps not in the fullest understanding, but in the fullness of faith. She chose to move forward because, aided by friends and aided by her faith, she held in her heart those words which perhaps came back to her with some pain and confusion, "Be it done according to your will." In spite of this suffering, she continued to walk towards God. Mary is our model for when we need to recall someone who decided to move forward in faith. Mary as companion stands as another important model for those who suffer. For a few years, I worked as a chaplain in a Catholic hospital, which at the time was under the Sisters of Providence. One of the remaining sisters was a short Canadian sister. I remember she wore that habit that was sort of prevalent in the late 60s. It sort of made sisters look like a TWA flight attendant. But she was a wonderful sister, and I remember she said, "Oh, we have a young Jesuit priest, and oh, you're so wonderful, and oh, you're so good-looking, and oh, you're so crafty." And then she pulled me down, and she said, "Now listen. When something bad happens, At times, there is nothing you can say that can make it better, but there's a heck of a lot you can say to make it worse. When we suffer, we often look for answers, but we often look for people who will stand with us, with no answers, but their silent compassion. Mary stood as a silent companion under her suffering son. The Gospels recall no eloquent words, no reasoned discourse, just the image of a grieving mother. What more justification do we need to place Mary as an object of our devotion than her brave witness of companionship with her son? In today's Gospel of John, Jesus transforms the mystical body of the church by creating Mary as the mother of the faithful. She is our mother, a mother who will stand by us in our suffering because we are her children. Mary's witness is that of silent presence. She remains obedient to her son whose dying words made us all her children. If we model Christ, we who are Christians, so must we model the mother of Christ and her stance with suffering. Can we too stand with those who suffer, not with words or explanations, but in imitation of the companionship of Mary, who stood under the cross of her son? Standing takes courage. We have a great example of standing with courage with our bishop, who has taken a stand for those who are most vulnerable. I am certain that Bishop Daly takes Mary as his model, Mary as the companion of Jesus, as she is our companion and model on how we need to stand with the hurt, the lonely, and the most vulnerable. Mary is the image of our hope as we pray in the Salve Regina, our Spes Nostra, our hope. She is not the source of salvation, an idea never held or taught by the correct church teaching. She is instead the path towards that salvation, a path laid by her example of her life. Her life stood as a witness to her continuous yes to God. Mary stood in that fork of the road in which suffering frequently places us. To go forward in faith or stumble on in desperation. Mary chose faith in the face of suffering. She embraced the cross in no less way than the fruit of her womb embraced that same cross. At her death, the promise of eternal life with God, the object of her life, was given. At the Assumption, Mary entered into the fullness of God's love, a promise held out to all of us who imitate her yes. In Mary is our hope. In Mary is a hero's challenge, a story with suffering and sorrow, but in the end, eternal joy. Mary is the image of our hope in Christ. We are challenged to imitate Mary in our own suffering and when we stand with the suffering of others. We imitate Mary and her piety and her courage so that, like her, we may attain the promises of her son. These 9 days, we pray for healing and strength in the face of suffering. Can we do better than to place ourselves with Mary, taking the place of the beloved disciple who looks on son and mother and sees a mother who is our model, our companion, and our hope? At the cross, her station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping, close to Jesus at the last. But the crucifixion was not the last event. It was a chapter in a book that ended with Mary being crowned Queen of Heaven, Queen of all the holy souls of the Church triumphant, suffering, and militant, who follow her battle plan to be successful. Be it done according to your will, and do it with courage and hope. May the Mother of Jesus, the Mother of God, be our inspiration in our suffering and help us stand with others in their suffering. We pray for healing and for strength, and we look for this healing to Mary, who is our model, our compassion, and our hope. Pray for us, O Mother of God, that we may be worthy of the promises of your Son.